Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We get closer and closer to the draft. Thursday night, it is coming up, and the rumors continue to fly. Good morning from New York City. KJZ, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key today. And right now, it's time for our KJZ mock draft. We have our guest analyst today is Field Yates, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Field.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing? It's a great week ahead. I hope you both are doing well.
Yes, sir. And we are getting right into our mock draft because we are in the 20s now. 21 through 24, and the picks are in. Mike Wells, ESPN Colts reporter.
With the 21st pick in the 2021 KJZ mock draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Oklahoma State tackle Tevin Jenkins.
I think this is a solid pickup for them. When you think about Jenkins, he's a big, strong tackle at the point of attack. They continue to build this offensive line. If you go back several years ago prior to Andrew Luck's retirement, they went out there and made sure that they were going to shore up the offensive line. They gave way to Jacoby Brissett. Didn't work out. They bring in Phillip Rivers. They make it to the playoffs. But that is the one consistent thing about what the Indianapolis Colts have been able to do. Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State is a solid pick for them, although they could have gone on the interior defensive line side as well, Phil, and did that.
Yeah, the offensive line certainly feels like an area they're going to address at some point in the draft. And Tevin Jenkins, as you mentioned, Key, he's the nastiest tackle in the draft class. He is a guy who wants to punish you. He wants to finish. He wants to make you not want to line up for another snap against him. We saw it consistently in the Big 12. I think this is about where he's going to go off the board. He's a player who probably could play right tackle as well in the NFL, but with Braden Smith locked up on the right side for Indianapolis, it feels like he would be a natural fit on the left side. As always, with GM Chris Ballard, you can keep in mind the possibility of a small trade down to add additional draft capital. Indy only has 6 picks, and then potentially find a guy comparable to Tevin Jenkins a little bit further down the board.
I want to remind everybody, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because once we're done with the mock of the next couple of picks, we will take your calls to Field and to Keyshawn on the draft. So the next pick is in. It's the Titans at 22. Caroline Fenton, 102.5, The Game.
With the 22nd pick in the 2021 KJZ mock draft, the Tennessee Titans select Azeez Ojulari, linebacker out of the University of Georgia.
I think when you look at this defense, Azeez is a great pickup here at the linebacker spot. They continue to build this defense. Offensively, I think they're set pretty good at the receiver position as well at the running back spot. They just acquired Sam Darnold. So the offensive needs is not pressing as much as the defensive side of the ball as they continue to build the defense.
Yeah, I think Ojulari would be an interesting pickup here for Tennessee to complement Bud Dupree, obviously signed this offseason away from Pittsburgh in a 5-year deal. Tennessee banking on him coming back to full strength quickly after tearing his ACL midseason last year. Tennessee saw more defections on the offensive side of the ball this offseason, but what you would be getting in Ojulari would be a player who could fill the role that, although he's much different body type-wise than Jadeveon Clowney, that will be kind of what you'd be looking for here, a guy who can give you some pass rush off the edge. Right now, the strength of Tennessee's pass rush is really the interior defensive line with Jeffrey Simmons. They're pretty well set at a couple of key spots, obviously, in Tennessee. They got a very good quarterback. They've got a good left tackle. They have a running back who's worth every penny. They've got a wide receiver one who has some Keyshawn Johnson in his game and A.J. Brown. This would be a nice pick, though, for Tennessee. And you know, Mike Vrabel, as a former defensive guy, is always going to be on board with the first-round pick going on defense.
You know, I'm thinking Carolina Panthers because I'm mimicking the Tennessee Titans, the running back in Henry, looking at the receivers on the outside, the quarterback in Tannehill and Sam Darnold. I meant the Tennessee Titans need that second-wave defender at linebacker for them to get better because their defense was atrocious.
All right, we got that clarification in as we continue again. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get your calls in. We'll get to those. You can ask Field Yates and also Keyshawn what you want about the draft once we are through these picks. The next pick is in. It's the Jets. And look who we have, Mike Greenberg, NFL Draft on ESPN. He will handle it, and here's the pick.
With the 23rd pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the New York Jets make the easiest selection in the history of pro football, and that is Jalen Waddle, the receiver from Alabama, whom they cannot believe is still on the board, and candidly, neither can I. Let me give you a stat on Jalen Waddle. He caught 17 touchdown passes in college. He averaged 44.5 yards per touchdown. He's the most explosive receiver in this draft. He is the closest thing we have to Tyreek Hill in this draft. He should be long gone by the time the Jets pick at 23. But if he's there, turn in the card immediately.
You know, I don't know if I pick Jalen Waddle at 23 because when I look at a wide receiver, I need a guy that is bigger. I love the explosive receiver components that he brings to the table. But for my money, I like big guys. I like to take smaller receivers later on in the draft because there's really a handful of things that they can do for me, which is lift the coverage, bubble screen, swing passes, things of that nature. I'm looking for an alpha dog at 23, not just a piece.
But if he's there, Phil?
That's just me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if he is there, I would be so surprised if Jalen Waddle slides all the way down to 23, understanding the way that the board shook out is just one iteration of it. It's not like it's a guarantee of how it will shake out once the draft actually begins. He's such a difference maker. At the floor for Jalen Waddle right away is to be perhaps the best punt and kick returner in the NFL. That's how special and dynamic he is with the ball in his hands. The Jets have worked a little bit this offseason to shore up their wide receiver group, Corey Davis and Keelan Cole. But that being said, I'm not sure that anybody on their roster right now strikes anywhere close to the fear into a defense that Jalen Waddle would. So this may be viewed by some as a luxury pick, but it's also an incredible value at pick 23.
Yeah, I think Najee Harris is a safer pick for me at 23.
And our last pick of the day at number 24 is the Steelers, Brooke Pryor, ESPN Steelers reporter.
With the 24th pick in the 2021 KJZ mock draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Najee Harris, running back, Alabama.
Well, I spoke him into existence, except it was the wrong team. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, they do need a running back. And I think Najee Harris as a dual threat. He's a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. You can detach him from the line of scrimmage. He can run between the tackles. He can run on the perimeter. He blitz pickup. He doesn't have to come out on third down. I like this for Mike Tomlin, Big Ben, and Pittsburgh Steelers. Ooh. I think he is an exciting runner. Not all that explosive. Can't necessarily get you the 70-yard home run touchdown in the National Football League, but not very many running backs can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of the belief that you have a better shot of getting the ground game going by rebuilding the offensive line. That being said, Najee Harris would be the quick fix, right? I mean, he's obviously going to be a massive, massive upgrade over what they got last year out of their running backs, and he's a player that played on all three downs in Alabama's offense. You figure he'll do the same for Pittsburgh. He really evolved as a pass catcher this past year, outside the numbers, also in the screen game. He can do it all. He would be the early favorite to be the offensive rookie of the year if he lands in Pittsburgh, because you would expect him to be like a 300 total touch guy from his very first season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Najee Harris at pick 24 feels like one of the most popular mock draft pairings for a reason.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, so we'll go to the calls right now and get your questions for Field Yates and also Keyshawn Johnson on the draft. And so, we're going to lose Field? Okay, so we'll take the calls, and Keyshawn and I can discuss with you as well. I just wanted to know, Key, before I grab a call here, is with Jalen Waddle, with the Jets or Najee Harris, like, I mean, that's two players. Like, we're doing a mock here. You can't do trades, so there's a reason why some guys will fall. Najee Harris probably could be there at 23 for the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a more likely guy. Like, Waddle, it's less likely he's even going to be there to make that debate you would have for the Jets.
I know that there's this theory out there that is offenses are so much different and everything is spacing, and I know they're selling that narrative at the beginning of every season to people that this is different. Well, it's not different. It's the same damn offense they've been running for as long as you can think of, except there's a few teams that do some explosive things with a couple of explosive players. But for the most part, Charlie Checkdown is still available in the National Football League. So when you look at Jalen Waddle, Phil said a luxury pick, he's going to help them returning punts and kicks. I'm not drafting a dude 23rd to return no damn punts and kicks. Why would I do that if I'm Joe Douglas?
Well, that's also what he would do. I mean, they would also use him as a weapon. It's just that he can add that dimension.
Yes, but if you're at 23, is fine. If you're drafting him, you're saying he's not going to be there. So those teams that are taking him in the top 10, mm-hmm. let's say, where does he fit in? What is their needs? Do they need this particular player?
Could he be the guy that drops then, do you think?
I think it's going to be a lot of guys that's going to drop. I don't think he's just going to be one guy. A lot of guys are going to drop based on projections, meaning like who you might think is going at 11
yeah.
might all of a sudden go to 18. Not because something red flag-wise, just mm-hmm. maybe a team doesn't necessarily need where you have him plugged in at that position in a mock draft. That's all it means.
All right. So, again, if Harris is there at 23, I mean, that's an easy pick for the Jets, certainly, right?
I think running back-wise for both the Jets and the Pittsburgh
yeah.
is big.
It's a good pick for both of them.
When you take a running back in the first round, he's got to be Ezekiel Elliott-ish. He has to be Saquon Barkley. He mm-hmm. has to be Adrian Peterson. Because otherwise, I can get Alvin Kamara later on. And Alvin Kamara clearly is one of the top three or four backs in the league. You didn't project for him
that's been the
to
argument.
Be that, but you projected him to be a great pro, just not what he turned out to be. And anybody that thinks or says to you, Alan, oh, we always thought, well, why didn't nobody pick him earlier then?
But that's always the argument about running backs. It's if you're not going to be dynamic, I can always get him later in the draft. But the guys you get later in the draft, you aren't sure. You think you're sure what they can become, but you'd like them to be a pleasant surprise, a fourth round pick.
Far more successful running backs in this league have gone outside of the first round. I played with Hall of Famer and Curtis Martin. Mm-hmm. Curtis Martin was in the third round, mm-hmm. mid to late third round.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you start to look at it, I mean, here in New York, Tiki Barber was a hell of a back when he was sane. He was a hell of a back. He went in not in the first round. So you start to look at it with Tyron Wheatley went in the first round. Go figure.
Right.
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You hit and miss, but there's more hits in the later rounds on running backs than there are in the first round.
And that's what makes this, it's not obviously not an exact science. Let's get some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jihad in North Carolina starts us off.
Yes, sir, that's it. Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing this morning? I was just calling to see what you guys think about what the Eagles are going to do this year.
As a team, they ain't going to do nothing. As a draft prospect, they may take one of those Alabama receivers, if they're there, Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle, or best available. They lose Deshaun Jackson, who left in free agency to the Los Angeles Rams. So they need a top end speed guy. I know they drafted Jalen Rigger, but they're not apparently happy with him. He's still kind of trying to find and learn the process.
They really got to hope he just pans out in the second year, because obviously in comparison to who went after him, that turns out to be a really bad pick. But obviously for the Eagles, it's going to start and finish with what are they going to do now at quarterback? They've moved on from Wentz. They are not fully committed to Hurts. That's really the question now, obviously with a new coach in there as well. In a division that, aside from seeing what the Cowboys are going to become, it's still a division that you don't feel like is a superpower at all. Kevin in Texas. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I'm looking at the board and everybody's saying, my Redskins, or excuse me, the Washington football team need to get this one guy. Who's the best guy for the bang of the buck that's going to get them to where they need to be in the first round and go out there and start for the team?
They're in an interesting spot.
Yep.
Their
needs aren't really on the defensive side, right?
No, their needs are
strictly on the offensive side.
No, they don't
have
defensive needs. I think their needs are on the offensive side of the ball. Whether or not they elect to take a quarterback with their pick or a wide receiver with their pick, they certainly need to address the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, we just talked to Kevin. James in Illinois on an interesting team.
Hey, how you fellas doing? Glad to talk to y'all. I want to run something by y'all real quick. I've been listening to a lot of sports shows and everything, and I was wondering with the
same man, don't be listening to no sports shows outside of ours.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt. I was wondering, since the Falcons are open and trading Julio Jones, why hasn't anybody said or even floated the idea that the Falcons may be willing to trade Matt Ryan to the 49ers for their pick and Jimmy Garoppolo so that they can start their whole rebuilding process with a new quarterback for the future and a new offensive weapon?
Well, I think with what happens in that situation is it comes down to salary cap, and Matt Ryan still has some football left in him for Atlanta. If you get rid of Matt Ryan, the salary cap number explodes, it balloons. Then you talk about Jimmy G, who's getting a little bit older, you're still and banged up all the time. You're still in the same position you would be with Matt Ryan in drafting a quarterback. If you draft a quarterback at four with Matt Ryan, take either Trey Lance or Justin Fields, he sits behind Matt Ryan for a couple of years. The same thing would be Jimmy G. You got Jimmy G and you're sitting behind, they're sitting behind him for a couple of years. So why move on from Matt Ryan when you're going to salary cap issues are going to come up? And you just can't do what you're doing with Julio Jones, because you can push Julio Jones to June. You can't push Matt Ryan to June.
Isn't Matt Ryan also a year? Jimmy G's got 2 years left on his deal, right? I think, doesn't Matt Ryan have?
Matt's got a couple years.
I think he's got 3 years left. Yeah, he's got 3 years, but although there is a potential out, but still he's got 3 years left. So I don't know how that really resets you going forward,
well,
other than just buying back the 1 year. But
yeah, his salary cap numbers explode, though. His is like, I think, about $38 million or something
Matt Ryan?
Like that. Yeah.
All right.
I was just looking at it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Eric in Georgia. Eric.
Hey, good morning, man. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I'm a big Cowboys fan, and I'm hoping that the Cowboys can trade back. But Keyshawn, you guys, how far? I'm a Caleb Farley fan. I really think that not long ago he was the number one corner. But if they can trade back and get him in the late first and get a couple picks, what do you think about that? Thanks,
Caleb,
guys.
Farley.
Have a good day.
Well, I think when you think about Caleb Farley, the back injuries is showing up again. That could be problematic. Teams don't like to draft injured players or guys that they perceive to be injured. Because you're taking a little bit of a risk. Sitting at 10, if they can get Patrick Surtain Jr., then the second, I was told not to say junior, the second, then that would be the pick. When you look at Dan Quinn's defense and his style at cornerback, he liked long, rangy guys. J.C. Horn, to me, is a physical corner as well. Tall, long, rangy. Both of them have NFL pedigree with dads being former players in the NFL. So Patrick Surtain Jr. to me, though, would be the pick at 10. If for some reason they think they could slide back one or two picks and gain something and still get their guy, then they could do that as well.
What's the difference between junior and the second? Is it the middle name?
It has something to do with the South, man. I don't. It's
like, is it
Evan? You want to explain
Is there a thing there? I don't know. It's probably not worth discussing. Maybe somebody can just tweet at me. That'd be fine. We continue talking an NFL draft with Keyshawn Johnson, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on KJZ ESPN Radio. We go to Jersey City now. We talk to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Good morning. Keyshawn, I'm gonna be mad at you right now. I think you act like you're not showing Najee Harris no respect. I think, but I'm glad Pittsburgh can get him at 20.
Hold on,
I'm glad
Dave, what show you listening to, man?
Man,
what show you listening to?
That I think I really think the Jets should get him, and they could have kept Donald,
Dave.
But it's too late now.
Well, hold
Dave,
on,
Dave,
man,
Dave,
you going all New Jersey, New York on me. You're not even listening to the show. If you think that I'm disrespecting Najee Harris,
he didn't.
You know what did you listen? What did you hear? Whose show you listening to?
You undergrade Najee Harris is going to be a bad boy. If they would have said, "Oh, when we draft Jim Brown, you'll be jumping all over the older Empire
State." What the hell have you heard me say? You're not listening to this show, then, bruh.
Dave, we had a mock draft. We had somebody. It was Mike Greenberg who was the one who selected Jalen Waddle, and then the next pick was the Steelers. And Brooke Pryor chose Najee Harris. And Keyshawn said after Greeny made the pick, he disagreed. He said it shouldn't be Waddle, that it should be Najee Harris. So Key was actually saying that he likes Najee Harris and would take him instead of Waddle. So I just don't – I'm trying to figure out how you got to your conclusion.
Maybe your radio went out or something, dog. I don't know.
Yeah. Dave, you can apologize at any moment now.
I'm not going to apologize. Najee Harris is a bad young man.
I said that, though.
I tell you what, Dave. We're done with you today.
That's the thing about listeners. I love them.
Well, but the whole idea is you're called a listener.
The whole idea, yes, but it's so funny because they hear what they want to hear. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's like children.
All I've been saying is Najee Harris is the number one running
back. But your reaction
to
it.
I love how he said the Jets should have gotten him at 23, and now it's too late. It's a mock draft. It's not too late for anything.
Now it's too late, and if you would have picked Jim Brown, you would have liked it.
I wasn't born. I didn't see Jim Brown play.
The Jets weren't around.
God, that's one thing
I think that's a good place to stop.
Listeners
with the
be
calls
so funny
now.
To me. You disrespect.
And then I said, you can apologize. I ain't apologizing anything. He just got the whole
he
thing wrong.
He should have just said he don't like me. He had a problem with me when I played for the Jets, and I'm arrogant.
Is that
and
what
I'm
it is?
I'm malcontent, and all I do is talk about myself. He should have just said those things.
I don't like you, and therefore I don't like your takes.
Now, he should have just said that.
Is that pretty much what it's
about? Because that's probably what he thinks anyway. Like, I really give a damn, though.
Alan, do you want the explanation on why we couldn't call Patrick Surtain Jr.?
Yeah,
yes,
I'd like
you
to know
to
with
us
Junior in the second.
So
what's
he's,
the difference?
He's the second. If you refer to somebody as Junior in the South, they have to be a Bubba. So he's not a Bubba.
That's a real thing?
What's a Bubba?
A Junior in the South.
They're called
so
Bubba?
It'll be called. So if I saw somebody in the South and I said, hey, what's up, Bubba? That means he's a junior?
So Forrest Gump's friend Bubba was actually a junior.
Yes, exactly.
Because
he was Benjamin Bedford Blue the third,
that's
I believe.
Right, yes. No, well, he can't be the third.
Well, you can be the third. Yeah,
you could still be a Bubba. You could be a Bubba at all right. It's a lot for me to understand this early
right,
in the morning.
A Bubba, a junior, and a third, and a second. How about just his name, Patrick Surtain? Then y'all figure out if he's a junior or if he's a Bubba or if he's a second or a third.
I don't know. There's a lot to figure out, including, of course, figuring out a very interesting take by Stephen A., who claims that KD and Kyrie are going to regret signing with the Nets. You've got to hear this take and, of course, our reaction to it, and we'd love to get your reaction to it certainly as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we'll get to all that coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and ESPN News on TV. Did you make that?
Put some respect on the New York Knicks, like factual.
Right now, if I had a vote, he's got to be on one of the three teams.
Back to Randall. Wing right three at the shot clock. Buzzer! Buried it, and that might have been the dagger.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah. Here's Durant with an 8-point Brooklyn lead. Durant puts it up, puts it in. How about 32 points in his return from injury for Kevin Durant?
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. You get your footing right and, you just get your rhythm going. And I think my teammates did a great job of looking for me all game.
You know, efficient, but there was a pretty good flow out there for the most part.
They better look for KD.
KJZ, ESPN Radio. Alan Hahn kicking it with Keith today. And yeah, I mean, that's really what you think about, right? Like, but KD comes back, though, after missing lengths of time, and he looks like he doesn't miss. Like, it just, it's, he said riding a bike. It literally looks like that for him. Everybody else has rust. Look at AD. You got rust to kick off. You got to get yourself back in rhythm, whatever. Kevin Durant returns, and it's just like, yep, buckets.
Well, some guys can do that. LeBron will be the same.
Not a lot of guys.
Some guys can, though. Some guys can miss and it come back. It's like riding a bike, man. It's that way.
Yeah.
But
that's remarkable, though.
But it also depends on where you're at from a mental standpoint. If you're out there gingered, moving around very gingerly and kind of picking your spots like AD was doing when he first came back.
Worried about getting hurt again.
But if you KD, you're like, man, I'm not even tripping. When he first got back prior to even playing this season, when he first started training, you could tell just from the little bit of video you saw, oh, he's going to be fine. He'll be okay.
And that's,
you can just tell.
But he has to realize that. Like,
absolutely.
I'm good, and sometimes it does take a few of those for that to happen. Like Alex Smith getting hit by, who was it, Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald.
That kind of told him.
Yeah, that's a little scary, though.
I'm good. Yeah, but you get hit by that guy and you survive. Okay, I think I'm fine now. But,
KD's a walking bucket, though, man.
He is so good. And again, that's always the story about the Nets, is really you'll judge them on when they're all healthy and what they do in the postseason. Now, of course, here in New York, and I know you love this stuff, so you can go ahead and start rolling your eyes. What we have now is a situation. And what we have is a Knicks team that has, and I know last night's loss notwithstanding, it was a great game, by the way. It was. It really was a great game last night. But the Knicks have been surging, playing well, up to fourth now in the East.
Yes.
And look like a team that is on the rise. Certainly not a contender for a championship, but a lot closer than maybe we thought. And they're a fun team, right? They're a fun team, homegrown, a lot of homegrown players. And a really fun team to watch. The Nets, of course, are a superpower with great stars and great marquee value and a chance to win a championship. In fact, odds on favorite probably at this point to win a championship when healthy. And Stephen A. Smith looks at now these two things and he sees how Julius Randle seems to be a bigger trending topic in New York than Kevin Durant. That R.J. Barrett is a bigger trending topic, that Tom Thibodeau, a bigger trending topic, that the Knicks' mild success is a bigger deal than what the Nets are doing so far. And so he takes it to this level on First Take yesterday, that he believes that these guys, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, might actually regret the decision of going to Brooklyn instead of Madison Square Garden.
I want to state for the record, whether they admit it or not, that if the New York Knicks are in the playoffs and the Brooklyn Nets don't win the chip, KD, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving will regret the day they pass on becoming a New York Knicks.
Molly wasn't having it, clearly.
I don't think that's the case. And maybe Stephen A. is trying to make the point based on this team in New York, the Knicks, that is, going to have a playoff spot and the roster the way it is. But if KD and Kyrie were a Knick right now, some of these guys wouldn't even be there.
But don't matter.
Why?
Because you have to understand, if the Knicks were the team with 40, is it 44 or 42 wins right now, first in the East?
Yes.
With these guys?
Yes.
Oh, no. You can't stand how we get with mild success. I would be insufferable right now next to you.
No, I get if they were on the team.
They would be legendary right now.
No,
and they've only played seven games together.
There's no question about it. Being in L.A., raised in L.A.
You get it, yeah.
It's the Clipper-Laker argument.
If Lob City was in Laker uniforms.
Calm down.
Right?
You're getting excited just talking about relax.
Because this is relax. You're talking to a New Yorker. You want me to relax talking basketball. I can't do it.
But if it's like the Lakers in the Clippers, is their argument. And I see it for New York. I couldn't figure out why they decided to go to the Nets versus the Knicks, but because everyone's trying to sell me on ownership that Dolan's in this and Dolan's in that and nobody wants to play for him. And that's what was being sold. So they decided to join the Nets, and you knew they were going to be good. And
KD said the Knicks weren't cool.
But the Knicks are cool if KD's on the Knicks. That's the difference. If I'm KD and Kyrie, I'm going to the Knicks. I want that smoke.
Why?
Because it's going to take me to a whole nother level. I don't know, and you have to educate me and tell me, if they win in Brooklyn as the Nets and they win a championship, it won't have the same gravitas as winning as a Knick.
Not even close.
See, I want the Knick stuff. I don't want the Nets stuff. I want to be at the top of the Empire State Building as a Knick with a Knick jersey on, opposed to being in just a high-rise as a Brooklyn Net. That's how I feel about the Clippers and the Lakers. If the Clippers were to win a championship, it's like, oh, okay, cool. What time is their ticker tape? Oh, it's at 1. Oh, okay.
I'll avoid downtown.
No, it's what channels are they going to be on? Oh, they might be on, like, Channel 5. They're going to show it live, KTLA. Oh, they're not going to show it on ABC or CBS? No, it's just going to be. That's the way the Clippers are viewed. Mm. I view the Nets the same way as someone who's here, where the Knicks, I'm like, that's popping right there. Mm-hmm. That's just me, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's not. And, of course, the question is if the Nets, and that's what Stephen A. is saying, if they don't win a championship, they fall short of that.
Yes.
And the Knicks are in the playoffs, the Knicks had a better season by comparison, you know, again,
it's boom or bust for the Nets, regardless if the Knicks make the playoffs or not, based on the construction of the roster and how they went about getting Harden and now Blake Griffin. So when you put all that together, they have a what I would call a dream team coaching staff, right? They got a dream team coaching staff over there. They got a former MVP. They got Mike D'Antoni, all-time winning coach or whatever you want to call it. Yep. Jacques Vaughn. I mean, they got all the pieces on the staff that's aligned with star power. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the court, they got ridiculous star power. They're expected to go to the championship and possibly win.
They're built for that.
The Knicks are expected just to figure out how to get to next season. So, I mean, that's the way you came into the season believing that.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you go out the season believing that?
Well, of course. But it's always about, again, it's always about the right now. And the right now is this was the opportunity for the Nets to take over, take over the city, to get a whole generation of fans on their side. We talked to Andrew Yang yesterday about he left the Knicks for the Nets. And that was supposed to happen. But because this Knick team has become sort of that, it's a fun team to root for. You're not doing that as the Nets. And so even winning a championship might not move the needle as much as you might have thought, which is, you know, again, which is remarkable. But let me ask you this. And again, it's Keyshawn J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I want to ask you, like, you already have now star power in L.A. on both teams, right? You got obviously Paul George and Kawhi on the Clippers.
Yeah, different, though.
AD,
yes.
LeBron, yes, on the Lakers. Serious star power, serious teams that are major market teams that are going to always be on ABC, ESPN, TNT, all that stuff. In New York, you have the Nets and their star power. The Knicks are a fun team, but they don't have the star power.
Yes.
If you're the NBA, it's not like the final piece. If I can get some stars, like marquee names on the Knicks, you've got now four teams in two of your biggest markets.
Yes.
With big names. They always say, like, oh, the small markets are still important. How big would that be for the league, though? Is that important for the league, do you think?
I think it's important to have winning teams in big cities, no question about it. But I don't think that the league would go out of its way to push star power to the Knicks, per se.
Well, you don't have to do that. The Knicks are maybe doing it for themselves by looking like a team that's fun and maybe stars would want to come here. I'm just saying, for the NBA, that could be real interesting. If they do attract a star or two, well, then you got, for the league, four teams in your major markets that all have star power. And that can certainly
Damian Lillard on his way to the Knicks.
Lot. All right, you start the rumor. I'll carry it from here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your draft calls, even on the Knicks-Nets topic, if you'd like. But what's the biggest lie of the draft this year? Again, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Coming up this morning on KJZ. Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner and projected first-round draft pick.
Touchdown, Alabama.
Devontae Smith with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. This morning at 9, 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Alan Hahn with Key today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How many sevens am I going to do there? Listen, had a game last night.
Excuses.
I'm a little foggy right now.
Excuses.
Didn't even know that I put on Yankee socks this morning. You keep looking at me.
Because you're 49. You're almost 50 years old, and you're wearing team-issue gear to work.
All about comfort. That's what it's about. All about the comfort. It's all about you right now in the calls. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's take Robert in Virginia. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I can't believe Stephen A. Smith. He reminds me of those Republicans, all these conspiracy theories. Let me tell you something. Those guys are happy to be playing together. You can tell they enjoy playing together. And if Harden comes back, the Lakers cannot beat them.
Hold on, Robert. Yeah,
you got him.
You got me messed up
now. You got him, Robert.
I can use some other words in front of messed up, but I ain't going to do that. You come on, man, stop. The Nets are legit. There's no question about it. But to talk about that the Lakers can and the Lakers
who's guarding James? Who's guarding Harden?
You pick who you want him.
Kuzma?
Yeah, that's who's fine. Who you want Kuz on him? You want headband on him?
Caruso?
You want Caruso on him? Mm. You want to run KPC at him? What you want to do?
You're going to need all of them because that's about 18
okay.
fouls.
So who's going to guard LeBron?
Well, you have Kevin Durant and LeBron are pretty much head-to-head.
Who's going to guard LeBron?
Yeah, you're
going to
have that. Yeah.
Okay, so then what? Who's going to guard AD?
Jeff Green physically can handle
who's
that as well.
Who's going to guard AD?
Oh, they've got a handful
of bigs,
by the
way. And then we got the big boy. He just bullying everybody right now.
Oh.
My man, we just got him. We just grabbed
Andre Drummond?
Yeah, Drummond. Like, come on,
DeAndre
man.
Jordan. It's like the same thing.
Okay, well, that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. You feel that way as a New Yorker.
And then Kyrie and Schroeder, to me, is the most compelling matchup
that's
between.
That's a good one.
Because they don't like, and they don't like each other.
He's not going to back down.
I kind of like that.
He's not going to back down.
Don't you think you got to play mental warfare with the Nets? It's not going to be a physical game. It's got to be mental warfare with them. You got to mess with them.
I think that's going to be part of it.
Mm.
And by the end, the building should be a little more crowd, right?
I mean, both coasts. In New York, I mean, how many are at Staples now?
I want to say 1,800.
Yeah, there's 2,000 now in New York, but by the playoffs, I think they're going to bump it up to about 25%. So you're talking about 4,500.
Yeah, so the whole mistake. A little more energy. Staples, all that, you know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Spencer's in Dallas. Go ahead, Spencer.
Man, listen here. So, Knicks fan. I don't think KD and Kyrie wanted no smoke with them Knicks because risk-reward, you go big, you win big. It's easier to go ahead and go to Brooklyn because all that sunshine ain't going to be on you.
Whereas you win big in New York, you're going to get the glory in New York. It's like the Giants and the Jets. I'm not going to the Jets. I'm going to the Giants.
Wait, hold on, man. I played for the Jets. I'm still living off the AFC Championship game. What do you mean? I'm still eating on that.
You and Bart Scott.
Look, I'm still eating on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, brought to you by Progressive. I'm still eating on this. What the hell he wrong with him?
But I see what he's saying, though, and he's talking about like what you said, though.
Yeah, I know.
You'd want the
I'd rather
the
go to
bigger
the Knicks.
Stage.
Yeah, I'd rather go to the Knicks.
But there is something to be said about maybe the easier place to go to.
Yeah,
where
I'm not,
I used
not
to say this
easy.
With Carmelo Anthony when he came to the Knicks. The Knicks jersey is the heaviest jersey in the league. He puts that on and all the weight of expectations that he had to carry, and it wasn't easy.
But I want that, though. Yep. I embrace that.
Not everybody's built
no
like
problem.
That.
If I was playing hoops and somebody said you could be drafted by the Knicks or you could be drafted by Orlando – like, come on, man. I'm going to the Knicks. I'm about to take Madison Square Garden and put it on my back because that's just who I am. I want that because I can attract you to come play with me at Madison Square Garden. If I'm Kyrie, I'm coming to Madison Square Garden. I don't care if I grew up in New Jersey or not. The Nets ain't in Jersey no more. The Nets in Brooklyn. I want to play for the Knicks. I don't care who the owner is. I want to play for the Knicks because I'm about to prove to y'all we can really turn this thing all the way around.
If you could talk to KD, would you ask him about that? Would you wonder? Would you want to know his reasoning? Or doesn't affect you at all? Like, or do you already know just by the decision he made?
I don't know him enough to know why he made the decision.
So would you want
to
know?
I would ask him, like, why wouldn't you go to the Knicks versus going to the Nets? Maybe he felt the building was cooler and it was shinier. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's the Garden.
I can't say that he was running from the heat of being a Knick. It certainly seems that now that you can see where the Knicks are playing good and everybody's like, oh, my God, the expectations on people like you are going crazy. And if they was there and it was sort of kind of hovering around the fifth seed or something like that, then people would be like, oh, we should have never signed him or he's always hurt. Maybe he didn't want that.
Well, that part, we always forget. He had to sit an entire year.
Yeah.
And we all know how patient we are here in New York, how we would have accepted
Man,
that.
I would have took –
We would have been like, he could play now. You're fine. Kobe came back in like 3 months from that injury. What are you talking about? That certainly would have been the conversation. Jason's
yeah,
in North Carolina.
To people.
Jason.
How are we doing this morning?
What's happening, man?
Yeah, I think KD and Kyrie are the perfect choice for Brooklyn. I mean, they're the ultimate – cynical, woe is me millennials. I mean, they want to win on their terms, and the Knicks are not their terms.
That's true.
I mean, it's like when you go home to your hometown and you see two guys that you know that went to private school, but then you see them at dive bars and they act like everything that ever happened that was bad in the world happened to them and talk about joining Greenpeace and stuff. That's them.
Evan, our producer.
He went to Cranbrook. It's a private school.
No, but see, like, the way that I look at it, though, for Katie and him is – they win with the Knicks regardless. If they take the Knicks to the championship and lose,
yeah,
that's a win.
I get your point. It's like regardless of all the issues with the franchise. Like you went into the Jets, and what were the Jets but a disaster, right?
Yeah, man, please.
And
Richie Kotite was the head coach.
Yeah. Did it faze you?
No.
Yeah, no.
No,
like
because
certain
I was
people
looking
are
at
built
bigger.
Different.
I was looking at something different. I was looking at – this franchise has been in the dumps. If I could help get them out of the dumps, this will be great. That's how I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about worrying about you at Newsday writing an article about me. I could care less about that. I wanted to get the team to a situation where we were competing for championships all the time. Now, what if they don't win in Brooklyn at all? What if they just don't win in Brooklyn?
Think about it. It's a short window because they've got – you know, they both signed 3-year deals, so you know, you're already at the end of these deals next year with an option, obviously. And if it's not working out, you know, that all of a sudden becomes a conversation. But it's just hard to believe it's not going to work. I mean, there's just so much talent. The James Harden addition to me was like that thing that locked it up. Now, of course, it has to get done, and that's what we're looking forward to. So we'll continue this conversation, and this will be interesting. The one place that Keyshawn did not want to be drafted. Where is that? Well, that's coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio. And, of course, you can find us on the ESPN
app. We didn't want him anyway.